Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we are talking about question and answers and feedback and continuing our series on developing supernatural goals. We didn't get much chance to talk about homework last week, so we're going to start out with that this week, and then we're going to talk a little bit about interference, what it is, how to deal with it, and why it's going to come up for the rest of your life. So we need to learn to not just face it, but overcome it. When we're starting to look at some positive goals we want to set in the supernatural realm, so looking at where we've come from and where we want to go, what we've been doing is we've talked about negative goals and positive goals. Really what we're talking about is dealing with our crises and including our desires. We have things that come up in our lives over and over again that we have to deal with. And unfortunately, they're usually negative. There's usually something wrong that gets most of our attention rather than the positive in our lives getting the most attention. And for both of those, what we want to recognize is in many ways that is God trying to get our attention, either that something's wrong or that something's right. Isn't it amazing how much more negative we are? We rarely think that God's trying to get our attention that something's right, that something's good, that there's a blessing there. It's usually that something needs to be corrected or fixed or overcome. So we're dealing with the first just so we can have a clear pathway toward dealing with the positive, the blessings, the good things that God wants to encourage us by. It's the goodness of God that draws us. And yet so often, the way he has to get our attention is through negative. We have crises in our lives in three main areas: the financial, relational, and health or medical. And sometimes they're all three. But these are pretty much the areas that in our lives we find are most important to us, so often this is where God gets our attention, in these areas. Clearly, if you know you don't care about your job, how things are going in your job, is whether they're going well or not so well, that's not going to be an area where God is going to try to get your attention. If you don't care whether you lose your job or how things are going. So those things that are important to us is the area he gets our attention. Now, just as a refresher, the reason we want to deal with these crises areas and learn how to turn them into something we can attack, something we can develop a strategy to overcoming them, it's because there's There's several reasons that it's important to God for our learning to depend on Him. The first is that it's an opportunity to develop that exact habit, to depend on God. In working with Him, in depending on Him, He is the one who's going to help enlighten you. I'm not going to. I may help reflect and give you feedback, but He is the one who is going to bring into your life the circumstances, the ideas, the resources you need in order to accomplish achievement of these goals. And He's going to help you to develop the goals and how to get there. That whole process, that whole knowledge and understanding is going to be developed into a habit so that when faced with a decision, a challenge, a crisis, or a blessing, you will know how to take it to God. What we often do is we take bits and pieces to Him, don't we? You know, if we've got a problem with our boss, we take our boss to God. You know, what do we do about this? When He wants to take us, and what all else is involved in this? And see how every circumstance in our life is an opportunity to learn how to depend on Him. So these are all opportunities, training opportunities. Secondly, we are learning through developing these goals and then implementing a strategy to achieve those goals is teaching us how to overcome our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And through this process, we are undoing, we are getting healed, we are redeeming lost time, our past. We are getting healed from wounds and forgiving ourselves and others and God of mistakes, because we are learning that we are a forgiving person. We are learning the habit of facing the future fearlessly, which is the first step in learning to rule and reign over time. You have authority over time. This is the first place we learn how to actually do that, how to rule over time. As we're taking care of the past and we're gaining confidence to face the future. This gives us what we need to be able to live present, and then above that, as if the past, present, and future was all the same thing, because it is. All it is time. And time is an earthly factor. It's not a supernatural factor, and it's not a spiritual factor. Eternal is not more time. Okay? More time is just more time. They're not related. Time was created for this earth. Eternity has nothing to do with time. Eternity, eternal life, is a quality of life, which you already have. So we're also learning to rest in that area that's so important to us. So those three areas where there's always crisis, the financial, the relationship, and health, we learn to, by investigating the and strategizing and getting through these other steps, we learn to rest through dependence on God. We don't want to be caught going from crisis to crisis to crisis, even when one is successfully solved. We don't want to see our lives as stepping stones, that if I can just get through this, our goal in that is that regardless of the storm, we want to be at peace. We want to be at rest. We want to be calm in our mind, will, and emotions, fully letting Him bring us into that stillness that is not disturbed by what's going on in our circumstances. Now, this is something God does in us through our dependence on Him. This is why cultivating a quiet lifestyle and being willing to release our beliefs and change those habits, they all come into play. We've got a ways to go, but He can do a quick work when we start cooperating with Him, letting Him have His way. And you've already agreed to that. Okay, so if you might be thinking, well, I don't know whether that's something, you know, why that would make me different from everybody else. I'd have to be trying things new. Things are fine the way they are. You know, not to argue with you, but in your spirit, you've already agreed to do things God's way. You may not want to. You may not think you have, but you have. Because in your spirit, you are in full agreement. You already know everything as God is going to do in your life and is doing, and you've agreed to it. And in your spirit, you are fully cooperating. So it might be better to just resign yourself solically that change is happening, and you can resist it, but it's going to happen anyway. And finally, going through these processes of both developing supernatural goals that arise out of crises and also out of our desires helps us to learn to manage our God-given temperament. Yes, that's a God-given temperament. The way He put your soul, your mind, will, and emotions together to make your soul, He did that deliberately and on purpose. There was no mistakes. He likes you that way. And He's not going to change it. Our challenge is to not be controlled by it, because your temperament is not you, any more than any of your physical attributes are not you. You're not your heritage, your culture, the color of your skin or hair or eyes, whether you're male or female, what religion you formerly were. None of that is you. Those are all things about you. Your age, it does not affect your soul or your spirit. Your gender does not affect your soul or your spirit. What country you're born in does not affect your soul or your spirit. So we don't want to be identifying ourselves or others according to physical attributes. And we don't want to see ourselves in that way either. We don't want to limit God from giving us a desire in a certain area, or keep down a desire that we already have in a certain area because of a physical restriction. And by that I mean, if you have in your mind that women don't do certain things, or men don't do certain things, or people who are young or middle-aged or older, or married or divorced, or with too many children or too few children, or live in the wrong country or don't make enough money or whatever, can't speak well, whatever. If you are saying you can't do something that you have a desire for, that may be an area God wants to talk to you about, not limiting him because of your false beliefs. Now, we take all those things into consideration, but we overcome them. We don't let them stop us. We overcome them. And that's, I guess, the other aspect we want to remind ourselves over and over again. We are overcomers, not victims. Yeah, the culture isn't perfect. Life is not fair. Big surprise. I know you were really shocked by that. So what? Your definition of fair and mine aren't going to be the same anyway. We've all had bad breaks. We've all been rejected. I got news for you. None of your parents were perfect. None of your childhoods were perfect. None of you got through childhood without making, or even adolescence, or sometimes so far in adulthood, without making big mistakes. Big whoop. Don't let any of that stop you from what God's desires are within you. Now, sometimes God gives us desires to move us from point A to point B. So just as we're going to keep our focus on developing the habit rather than suggesting that success is based on our achieving the goal in either respect or in any respect. Instead, the final goal is, are we depending on God? And he will let us know as we move along, step by step. He's our trainer, and he gives us the feedback that we need. This is one of the reasons it's so important that we are able to hear him clearly. And if you've got any questions on any that we're talking about, feel free to give a call in, 718-664-6988. In our past homework regarding the three items of crisis that God has narrowed down with you that you want to be able to learn to overcome, that you don't want to have holding you back in your life anymore. What we're focusing now, we're putting it in terms of crisis. Is there a clear area of crisis that keeps on coming up in that particular area? And you've narrowed it down, hopefully, to a very short summation of what the issue is. Like less than, you know, our first summation was get everything in there. My parents were divorced. It was over adultery. There were six of us kids, and none of us was able to comfort one another. And I felt alone, even though I was the oldest. I was supposed to have the most responsibility and take care of things, and I didn't know how to do that. And whatever capsulized that issue. But now we're bringing it down into 10 words. Because that's what we're going to carry through the rest of the process. You need to be able to have the larger one to refer back to, but we want to be focused in summarizing that particular crisis in 10 words or less. And obviously, all along these stages, you go back, Lord, am I getting this right? Is this a clear reflection of what the issue is? And remember, it's not about getting it right or wrong. Nobody has to see this. This is between you and God. Now, there may come a time when he may want you to check with someone else, whether it's something that's overwhelming you and you need some help, some support, some objective feedback. bringing some things up may be overwhelming for you. And that's go get help. Go wherever is comfortable for you. Doesn't need to be someone who's a Christian. None of these are exclusive to Christians. None of these issues, none of these problems. So if you feel like you need someone else to help, get someone else to help. If you feel yourself coming under judgment or condemnation or martyrdom, you know, no wonder I'm the way I am. Look at all I went through. No wonder I'm crippled in this area. Okay, be there. Give yourself some time to feel, yes, that was not fair. Yes, that was wrong. Or, yes, I did a really stupid thing. Wallow in that for a few minutes, whatever makes you feel good. But put a time limit on it. You are going to get past this. You must get past it because it's in the past. And you are an overcomer. This is not who you are. And this has been an anchor around your throat and a ball and chain around your ankle, keeping you from getting where you truly want to go. Any chains you have, doesn't really matter whether they're something you've learned to live with or not. God doesn't want them there. They are keeping you from His purposes in your life, which is healing, freedom, grace, rest, boldness, trying new things, letting those desires flow, and then achieving them. So even if you've learned to live with them, that's not good enough for God. He wants you free. So you've instilled that down to this is what the problem is. I've never, for instance, you know, I have a hard time with relationships, or I can't try anything new. You know, I have a fear of failure. I have a fear of people. You know, I hate my parents. You know, whatever is going to sum up for you the best, okay, this is in a laser beam, this is the issue. By going through this whole long process, what you've done is clarified and removed anything that could cloud what the final issue is. So bring that issue, each one of those three, into a very clear, concise, short phrase that is meaningful to you. This is your starting point. Okay, so make it as brief and precise as possible. You know, here's an example, and it's more than 10 words, so don't get caught up on 10 words, but for instance, because of my parents' divorce, I avoid deep relationships, especially with my children. Okay? That's the kind of thing we're looking for. That's the starting point. Okay? So if you need to go back, revisit that. Your next homework assignment is to start to develop your end point. If you recognizing and clarifying what the problem is, that's your starting point. Your end point is your goal. And we're going to start to develop that. And that may be surprising to you. What your end point really is, you may have been so focused on just not dealing or surviving the negative that you never really had a chance to turn it around. And what would this look like if this was really dealt with? So we start to develop that end point. Okay, in the case of this example, the end point for this person might be, I want a deep relationship with my spouse and with my children, where they are satisfied and I am satisfied. So that end point will be, what would overcoming that problem look like? What would it feel like? What would it sound like? What kinds of things would I say? What kinds of things would I hear? Maybe, I don't, you know, your problem is, I don't feel like I'm loved. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Well, let's be clear. What would it sound like? What do you want to hear from those around you, from those in your family? From even if you're not in a relationship, what would you want to hear in your perfect relationship? And again, you take it to God. You ask Him, Lord, would hearing this really satisfy? Would feeling like this, if this is what it would look like, would this satisfy this problem? And of course, all through this, because none of us, as much as some of us may like to think, none of us live in isolation. So who would be involved? And remember, when we're talking about relationships, we're not talking about codependent relationships. You're not going to develop a relationship so that someone can meet your needs. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, in your relationship, the reason we have relationships is because we're not all alike. And very often opposites attract. And those relationships help to stretch us, help to make us dependent on God. We learn to trust ourselves and one another, and we learn to not hold people accountable for meeting our needs. We know they don't. That's not their job. God has already met all your needs. But we learn how to accept them and love them and accept love without depending on them. There's that line between letting people use you and knowing it's not your responsibility to change them. The whole boundaries issue, and we won't get too far into that right now. But this is our training opportunity. So God will bring us into relationships. We're not going to isolate ourselves from people or new opportunities or the whole concept of making a mistake. Instead, we embrace these opportunities and the people, but we recognize it's not your job to make anyone happy, and it's not their job to make you happy either. You can want to be happy. That's fine. That's a great goal. But it's not going to come from an outside circumstance. It's something God is going to meet your need for. And He's the only one who can do it. Remember, in your spirit, you are already perfectly happy. You are perfectly at peace. The interferences are between your soul and your spirit, the obstacles. And we only learn how to overcome those obstacles through experience. It's not about being taught or seeing others overcome their obstacles. It's trial and error by you depending on God, being willing to take on the obstacles in your own life. You've already set your spirit to do that. You need to join that determination in your soul. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together at Monday, 7:30 a.m. Have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.